Formal jury selection begins today in Stevensville, Texas, for the so-called American Sniper trial. Chris Kyle, whose story is told in the hugely popular film, was killed with his friend Chad Littlefield 2 years ago by fellow soldier Eddie Ray Routh, who's pleading insanity due to PTSD. Alleged Boston Marathon bomber Jahar Zanayev pled not guilty. His defense team has tried and failed to get that trial moved. Jury selection is still underway. And in Colorado, James Holmes is on trial for the 2012 Aurora movie theater shooting. He's pled not guilty by reason of insanity. Can these headline mainstays find impartial juries? Joellen Demetrius is a jury consultant who worked on the high-profile O.J. Simpson trial. So, Joellen, the judge in Stevensville says jurors won't be dismissed just because they saw American Sniper, which may be the most viewed war movie ever made. But would a judge ever say there is too much publicity and postpone a trial?
You know, I've been doing this work for 30 years, and I've yet to have a judge say that. What I have seen is a judge say, well, there is so much bias and prejudice in a community that we'll move it to a new venue. Usually, Robin, what happens is during the jury selection process, the number of people that fall out, the defense lawyers are keeping track of that so that potentially they can renew that issue about moving a trial before a final jury is actually seated.
Well, and we should say that in the case of Routh, there are others pointing out that the jury pool is being picked from a close-knit community in which people have great pride in the military, and they may actually be sympathetic to him.
And that's the issue that I think both sides face, is I think that they are looking for military veterans themselves, certainly on the defense side, because generally these people, even if not they themselves, but someone close to them has been exposed to PTSD. And while there are different degrees of PTSD, certainly they would be more susceptible to perhaps a not guilty by reason of insanity defense.
Oh, and then there's the case of Jahar Zanayev, accused in the Boston Marathon bombing. In that case, he's facing a death penalty, and so jurors have been asked how they feel about the death penalty. But also, we've watched a parade of jurors saying they know somebody who lost a leg, who lost an arm, whose child was killed. Are people automatically thrown off a jury if they know someone injured by the defendant?
Certainly, the defense would look to have that person excused for cause. And certainly, I think a very strong argument could be made that that person could not be fair and impartial for that reason. The Boston bombing case is really unique. From what I understand, there are many, many people who have already made up their minds about this case. As a matter of fact, the trial has already seen 140 prospective jurors, and we don't know how many of those are being excused. I suspect what I referred to earlier with the defense perhaps wanting to bring a motion in the near future that they really can't get fair and impartial jurors.
This case also dovetails around the death penalty. The state doesn't have it, but it's a federal case. Can you make it onto a jury in a death penalty trial if you say you don't believe in the death penalty?
What the legal standard is, a person can't apply the death penalty, or that they would always apply the death penalty.
So in other words, the prosecution might block somebody who says, it is against my faith to ever vote for the death penalty. But on the other hand, the defense might block someone who says, I'd always go for a death penalty.
Absolutely.
Here in Boston, one of the issues that's come up is, how much do you know about this case? Now, this was on media 24 hours a day. And yet there were people who in the screening, in the jury screening, went on the stand and said they really didn't know that much about it. If you have to screen people out because they know too much because there's a movie or a book, don't you end up with people who aren't very well informed?
Well, certainly that's what you're looking for. I mean, in any high-profile case, you're looking for those people who, despite whatever they've heard, read, or seen, they can still keep an open mind. As a jury consultant, you always wonder and worry a bit about the person who says, yeah, I've heard about it, but I didn't really follow it. Or more likely, you have the person who says, you know, I just moved to Boston. I didn't live here during the time of the bombing. And so I'm not as intricately involved in it. And then you contrast that to other jurors who may say that they were paralyzed by fear during the time that they were out hunting for the two brothers. As the legal team on either side, you're looking to the honesty, the truthfulness, the genuineness with which a juror responds to your questions in this regard.
As a jury consultant, how do you look for someone who is not telling the truth?
What's most frightening, Robin, now is that there are actually websites out there that show people how to get onto a jury, that tell people how to get out of jury duty. And the bottom line is a lot of people want their 15 minutes of fame. And what's the more important story, let's say, for the Boston bombing defendant? Is it that I convicted him or I was the one person that held out for him?
And kept the death penalty from being enacted. It could be an anti-death penalty activist.
Absolutely. You know, you look at James Holmes' case right now, and that judge has actually summoned over 9,000 jurors. He's bringing in groups of 250 people who then fill out a 75-question survey. One juror apparently broke down in the courtroom and began to pull chunks of her hair out because she did not have childcare for her young child, but the judge asked her to continue on. So at that point, she started ripping her hair out. We have two other jurors who showed up intoxicated, and one juror who was taken away by ambulance because they were violently ill. So you've got all sorts of, sorts of issues.
Yeah, well, stay with the woman. Did the judge force her to stay? I can't imagine thinking, well, how am I going to do this if I don't, knowing this might be a long trial. Did he force her to serve?
He asked her to come back, from what I understand, and it was at that point that she fell down sobbing on the courtroom floor.
Wow.
At that point, she was excused.
Well, look, you were the jury consultant for the defense in the O.J. Simpson trial. He was tried for the murders of his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ronald Goldman, acquitted on both counts. What were you advising the defense to look for?
In that case, as in many other cases that we've worked on, we actually do a variety of social science research. We actually did telephonic surveys. We did a focus group. And because of those, we learned about the people that we wanted to avoid because of their understanding of DNA. At the time, and obviously we're going back 20 years, DNA was not the understood phenomena that it is right now. And we found that those people who were less likely to believe it happened to be African-American females with a high school or less education. More likely it is the person's attitude and life experiences that impact how they may perceive a case.
Do you ever feel funny about trying to get on the jury somebody who may not know enough about something to make an educated choice about it?
No, actually, because of the proliferation of people coming into my field now, it is rare in any high-profile case where there isn't another consultant working on the opposite side.
Joe Ellen Demetrius, jury consultant and author of Reading People, How to Understand People and Predict Their Behavior Anytime, Anyplace. Joe Ellen, thank you.
Robin, it was my pleasure. Thank you.